Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
The car, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Obviously, there is a high degree of frustration with what's going on with our Detroit Tigers. We have one caller call today, and I'm intrigued if he's got people with him who said, I don't even want him to make the playoffs, which I'm like, whoa. Don't even want to make the playoffs. But it's the class. Never has there been a better example. When you're a losing streak, you never think you're going to ever win again. And I mean, they can't. If they take 2 of 3 in Cleveland, they pretty much lock it up. But right now, Cleveland was that team that was on a winning streak and looked like they were never going to lose again. They did lose yesterday, and we still should have faith in Skubal and a Skubal start, even though they seem to the Tigers seem to get Don't score runs, don't give them enough run support. But they also, I mean, their ability to come up with clutch hits with runners on base, first and second, nobody out, that kind of stuff. I don't know. It just is absolutely as frustrating as I can remember any sports team being here in Detroit.
It's brutal.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Tom's in Frankenmuth, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm not. You had a topic about 6-8 weeks ago after their obviously rough stretch. And I think it was like Cleveland was only by 6 at the point. And they you asked, what's it going to take? Are you confident how many games behind they would be at this point, right?
How many games they have to get before you started to panic? It was like about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, a month ago.
Yep.
And okay. I think I said for me, it had to get 4.5.
I think you were 5. I think five, I was 4.5.
4.5. Yeah. So, and it got to 4.5. And then the next day,
just check the standings. It's 1.
Yeah. Now it's 1. But the point is, it went from 4.5 back up to 13.5. And now down to 1.
Correct. I was checking just, math or whatever. That's what I gave you was standings. Like, if the Tigers won every series out, it was 27-13. If they just started really blowing it, it would be like 17-24, and Cleveland would have to do X. Well, Cleveland's doing X, and we're doing 17 and whatever.
Yep.
Right now, we're 15-19 in our last 34, and that started off in that particular 34-game stretch. We started off 8-1, so it's been really bad since.
Yep.
I have no confidence in this team now whatsoever. Their batting lineup is awful. There's no even, I would say, there's a few average hitters on the team, but their batting average is between barely 200 and 270, and that just doesn't do it.
It's interesting, Tom, because one of the big things in sports is how do you respond? People always talk about this, and it's true in virtually every sport with every professional athlete, is how do you respond to adversity? This is adversity, right? This is the greatest test of can you respond from adversity? And, we know that there's better versions of a lot of these guys in there because we've seen it. We've seen it for long stretches of time. But this is adversity. They're living it right now. And I, you know, you would have thought if you could respond, you would have responded before this, but this, they haven't found that gear yet. I feel like something's got to happen. Like, they got to get an inside the park home run or a triple play or an immaculate inning or some crazy outlier.
Back-to-back doubles.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Right, something you never see.
Right, you'll never see
it. Like an RBI hit.
I'm driving around on Saturday, and I was listening to the game.
They find a way not to score, by the way, on back-to-back doubles.
Yes.
Runner holds at third.
I'm driving around on Saturday, run some errands, and listening to the game, and I pulled into a parking lot somewhere, and I'm going to listen for a second here, because there's a situation where Torkelson's up, and I'm like, I'm just going to give it a second here, see what happens. And Torque hits the home run, and I'm going nuts in my car in the parking lot. This is awesome. I can't, and I go and pull it up on the phone so I can see the highlight of it. I'm like, that's just great. Maybe that's the moment
there
they
you
needed.
Go. Yep.
And it wasn't. Nope. It just, because they can't back it up. Whether it's the collapse of a bullpen or it's just every missed opportunity in the batting order with the runners in scoring position, the runners on base and nobody out, and they cannot get it done. But I do feel the same thing with you. They need the big inning. They need to capitalize, have the crooked number, and then back it up with more innings where they're scoring and have, they don't need to have the Laffer 21-1 win or something like that.
Oh, I'd take that.
Of course you'll take it, but then you feel like you just spend it all in one thing. It'd be nice to have like a 7-0 game or shut somebody out or limit them to one run and you win the game by at least 5 runs. That's where you want that, where I want that for my own sanity, is to not have it be dependent on somebody just getting those last 3 outs and you're white knuckling it. Have some space in there. Have a comfort level.
Okay, we had the Twitter poll. Are the Tigers going to win the division? Right now it's trending towards 79% saying no. The other Twitter poll we asked, are the Lions going to defeat the Ravens? What do you think that percentage is at? Lions-Ravens tonight. Are the Lions going to defeat the Ravens? Gator, have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay.
42% say they're going to win.
Okay. Kang, do you think it's higher or lower than 42%?
I think it's slightly higher. Had they lost to the Bears, we'd be in Tiger territory. But since they beat the Bears, I think it's under 50%, but in the 40 range. I don't think you're too far off. I'm going to say 45%.
44.4. You guys are right there. You had it surrounded. 44.4 say yes, they're going to defeat the Ravens. 55.6% say no. Comments are coming in on that. From Saga, no, but I expect them to have a chance in the fourth quarter to go down the field and win it. From Raymond, I think they pull off the upset. They have had this game circled on their schedule after the last time we played Baltimore, beat Lamar Jackson on his home field, and fans will stop complaining about not having a mobile quarterback. And they put some parentheses, I hope. Ken says, ha, 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 I would just be happy if they keep it within one score. Tom says, would need that offensive line to click, and I think they're going to take many more games. Also, need to get Lamar, and with nobody of distinction opposite of Aiden, it doesn't seem likely. From Nubs Gets Dubs on Twitter, Lions win. There's a big chunk of this roster that played in the last Baltimore beatdown. I think some of those veterans are the standout performers tonight. From Lions for Life 097, if they protect Goff, the Lions should win this game. I say 40-33. And Bob says, I voted no in the poll, but wagered with actual money that they'll win. I'm an enigma wrapped in a riddle. Yes, you are, Bob. 248-539-9797. Go vote and comment. Your comments can be read on the air, and we will take Lions calls. Not just the Tigers. Got a huge Monday night game coming up tonight. We'll get into details with that game a little bit later, probably in the noon hour. It is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Yeah, well, I like the message he's selling. Yeah.
You're in it.
You didn't want to sign up for this, though, did you? And he should be. That's a totally. I'm talking to my team, and this is our attitude, and this is what we're going to try and pull off. It certainly is not that a message that the fans are thinking. Yes, yeah, sweet, sign us up. But hey, I don't blame him for saying what he said. 248-539-9797. And I'm not completely down on AJ because he hasn't found the solution yet. The problem is, even if they do win the division, I'm worried they ceded the first round bye to Seattle already. And that is, it's kind of a big loss. I don't think there's any way to other way to put it. Having to play that first round series is a major blown opportunity for a Tiger team that had such a big lead. But here we go. 248-539-9797. Back to your phone calls. Robert is next on 97.1. Hi, Robert.
How you guys doing? I love the show. The lay of the land in enemy territory in Baltimore. I'm going tonight. Have some really nice seats. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. The local sports talk radio, they are completely freaking out that they won't have Medibike, who's a game wrecker in the middle.
Yep, they're DT. Isn't he officially out, or they said they're freaking out?
He is officially out, and that's why the Ravens fans are freaking out.
Yeah.
And because they're like, their basic thought process is, all right, no Medibike, no Vannoy. They don't get a pass rush. Always in. Ojabo is MIA. And so without that guy in the middle, they're fearful that what they would have had as an advantage in the middle against Glasgow and company, possibly on the road with the O-line signals. They're very fearful that Gibbs is going to go off and Jameson and everybody else will have a field day because they're not going to have a pass rush.
So local
people. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. No, Robert, it's something we were going to get to as far as this matchup is concerned. So the interesting thing about Van Noy being out is often mocked to the Lions, Mike Green, rookie from Marshall, will get the start in place of Van Noy. And Mike Green is an edge rusher, which means if he goes out and has a day, there will be so much ruining. I can't even imagine what tomorrow's show is going to be like. It may drown out Tiger angst.
No, I know. And that's for, that's what that's the optimistic projection is. Hey, Mike Green, step up, all that sort of thing. And it's interesting though, because most of the people here think it's going to be like some 38-35 sort of deal, which is very different than last week when they were talking. Most people thought the Lions would totally get dominated because the O-line looked so bad against Green Bay. So this is a question, unofficial poll question. So it's a darkness game. Everybody's wearing black. You're supposed to wear black. And I'm going to do the ultimate troll job and wear my Barry Sanders Honolulu blue and silver jersey along with my blue hat and hope I don't get physically beaten up.
Well, you shouldn't. I mean, most people don't go there looking for fights. I would just say don't respond to anything that anybody says.
Yeah.
I definitely don't respond. My only thought is the Monday night game makes me a little fearful. I went 2 years ago. When it was a 1 o'clock game, daytime, most people don't act like complete you-know-whats. Yeah. But, 8 hours of tailgating, darkness games. But, hope for the best.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy, Robert, and circle back and let us know how it was. And anybody else out there listening in Baltimore, look, the guard-center-guard thing for the Lions is a story that is probably not over. They were much better in week two. But for those guys to perform tonight is a big deal. And yes, with Matabuike, thank you, out.
With Van Noy out.
I'm not going to discount if the Lions have success tonight to them having guys injured. Because we've dealt with so many injuries here. They still are dealing with it. I saw a stat that they already have the most guys. The Lions are amongst the most in the league with players already hurt this year.
Because they're still without Ali McNeil and others?
Yeah. and Rakestraw. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's still an issue. It's just not as bad as it was last year.
Yeah, well, it's a big problem. And nobody, I mean, it's third game in a season. If someone's going to cry about injuries, I don't have time for it. Is every team deals with it. So you take advantage of a situation when you can. And if those guys are out for Baltimore, it's like anything else. Next man up mentality. The Lions have to do their job. They've got to get after it. Now, the Lions have their own injuries to deal with. Obviously, Davenport's out for this one. But there are four guys that are questionable that you're hopeful are going to play. Like, it didn't sound like these guys are going to miss time, and yet will they? DJ Reed, Kirby Joseph, Jack Campbell, and Taylor Decker. Three very important pieces on the defense and one very important piece on the offense. Are they all going to suit up tonight? I sure hope so.
Yeah, look, there's a path to winning here. There's a path to winning for the Lions. It's hard, though, if you start thinking about your season projections, 11, you know, you and I both had them 11-6. This is one of the most losable games on their schedule the rest of the way. Like, to get to six losses, this feels like a loss. And then, you know, I think they're going to lose tonight. I don't think it's going to be an embarrassment like it was last time. And I think this feels like one of those games that tomorrow when we're talking about it, we're going to be talking about one play in the fourth quarter. Hmm. One moment in the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be very close, but I think we're going to be talking about one big moment in the fourth quarter on Tuesday's show.
This feels to me like a statement game for the Lions. Hmm. This feels like a game where the Lions go out there, impose their will on the Ravens, take advantage of the couple guys being out of this game, a pass rusher and a run stuffer, and do both, throw the ball and run the ball. I think the Lions offense is going to be just fine. I don't think they're going to score 52 like they did last week, but I think they're going to score in the 30s. And defensively, I think they're going to make life difficult for Lamar Jackson in that they're going to maybe keep him in the pocket and stop the run, try to make him one-dimensional, which he can be very good throwing the football. But I think that the Lions will be able to get off the field more often than not, and I think they win this game.
Hmm.
Sounds convincingly, a little bit.
Yeah.
From Gator's point of view.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a 38-31 type thing.
Late score by the Ravens or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. I'll take any win, but yeah, I mean, I like you, Gator, I don't cry a river for the injuries that the Ravens have right now. Every team goes through it, but those are big injuries. They don't have a pass rush without Van Noy. They just don't create pressure on the edge. They
have to blitz. Actually, they do create pressure, but they don't sack the quarterback. They get this weird thing where they have their pressure rate through two games. Okay, it's two games, but it's 18%, which was 11th in the NFL. Their quarterback sack number is 3, which is one of the worst totals in the NFL.
Well, they do it by blitzing and scheming because they don't have that one-on-one guy. Like, Van Noy's their one-on-one guy that beats those guys. Yeah. But the other, and then they play Josh Allen, who's very mobile. So those pressure numbers, I don't know how much of them is just Allen running around the pocket being crazy or what. But yeah, they got a good defense. But without those two players, they don't have as good of a defense.
No. And
I think the Lions learned their lesson from Green Bay. They got to make things simple for the guys in the interior line guys, the two guards, you know, keep it simple. There's going to be communication issues because you're on the road. It's a night game. If you make them less thinking, more doing, I think the Lions will run the ball a lot better than they did in Lambeau.
248-539-9797. Brendan and Walled Lake, you're next on 97.1. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, what's up, boys? How you doing?
Great.
We're at a rest stop on our way to Baltimore right now. Nice. It's probably the most spontaneous thing we've ever done. We were at breakfast yesterday, and I go, let's just look up the tickets and just see for fun just how much they cost. And we were surprised how cheap they were. I mean, they're not cheap, but cheaper than Ford Field. We just said screw it and bought the tickets. And the two people I'm with, I won't mention their names, but they played hooky from work, so hopefully we don't end up on ESPN tonight. But
you guys,
are you going to get car played?
Driving or flying?
He said they're at a rest area.
Oh, you're a rest stop right now.
Just driving.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, just driving. Pennsylvania Turnpike?
Too bad. Yes.
Pennsylvania. They still have Sparrow. They still have the Sparrow pizza quick.
Careful.
What?
I haven't seen that yet. Okay. No. Nope.
Oh, I'm just saying, last time I had pizza like that.
Yeah.
did not go well for
me. I'm sorry. Well, so
okay, we'll avoid that.
Were you guys like still drunk from Saturday night that made you make this decision to do something this spontaneous?
Completely sober, just three reckless people, I guess.
And, I love it.
I mean, it's hard to go to games at Ford Field. It's expensive. So, I mean, what a cool game to go see on the road. So.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. So. I'm jealous, Brendan. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the trip. Do you got a place to stay tonight? Or?
We did. Yep. We got a hotel. We're not that stupid. We did get a hotel. and hopefully you'll see us down by the field after a Lions win tonight. So.
All right. Well, enjoy.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you. Brendan and Wall Lake, him and his boys sitting around Sunday morning. Want to go? Let's go. That's a bold call.
That is a bold call. That's a saucy call.
Yeah, we'll get more into the Lions next hour and continue taking your phone calls and feedback. 248-539-9797 this hour. Before it is done, we'll get our thoughts on Michigan and Michigan State over the weekend. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Carsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. The ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Do appreciate all your feedback, and here we go. Guys, this collapse is 100% on Scott Harris. He is 0-3 the last 3 years at the trade deadline. He decided to sell last year, and this year he shopped at Temu. He is not a genius. Tiger fans so desperately want him to be. Hinch is a great coach, and he is playing the players Harris provided him. It's from Rick in Waterford. Look, I'll wait till it's over before I get really deep into the blame game. I'm going to wait till it's over. A wise man once told me, and it paid dividends for me, wait till the season's over. And you have all the information and all of the feedback. And I get that, you know, we're supposed to project and predict and all that. And I understand that. But I'm not going to go too deep into the blame game until it's over. But Rick, yeah, I mean, it's not trending well for Harris. And quite frankly, it's not trending well for Hinch. But
well, I would say this. They did acquire a couple of bullpen arms that have been very good for the Tigers. Finnegan's been outstanding, and Rafael Montero has been very good for the Tigers as well. His ERA is at 3.1, and that's after having a horrific start to his tenure here with the Tigers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show? It's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I will say this, though, as a message to Scott Harris, is when this season is over, and if it ends the way that many people think it's going to end, which either A, is getting to the playoffs and being a quick exit, or B, missing the playoffs altogether. Scott Harris needs to be more transparent and needs to be stand up and take questions from the media about why he decided to do what he decided to do. And by that, I mean, what type of trades were you really discuss? Did you discuss anything bigger? Why do you think you didn't overvalue your own people? I mean, I would like to hear honest discussion.
Yeah, I mean,
and because look, I'll say this: I think one of the best things you can do in coaching and management is admit when you make a mistake. Because I don't expect people to be perfect. I expect you to screw up, but you got to get more right than wrong. I always talk about the net effect, right? Some people will look at one thing that a coach or a GM does and says, that's it, I'm done. The net, the totality of your work, has it been more positive or more negative? Are you still in a position where I think you can build a championship caliber team in spite of your mistakes? Yes. Now, do you, but if you're not going to admit mistakes or talk about how you're going to grow from what you've learned, then I've got a problem with you. And yeah. and I really hope that there is some honest discussion after this season about maybe lessons learned, if this ends the way many people think it's going
to
end.
I wouldn't expect him to come out and say, hey, here's what Pittsburgh expected this in return for that. Like, I wouldn't expect that. What I would like to hear is that we were after a bunch of higher-end bullpen arms, but the asking price ended up being too much. And then, okay, well, what was the asking price?
What is too much?
Right, what is too much? And then he can come out and say, and again, doesn't have to identify the player, but if he says they wanted one of our top four prospects, then you kind of know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make up your mind then and there if you thought it was prudent to side on the Scott Harris side, or if you thought, no, what, it's worth the risk to go ahead and get that guy and go ahead and do this.
Yeah, or yeah, guys, I called about Stephen Kwan. They laughed in our face. They're like, we're not trading him. Because like stuff like that gets out there. Ooh, yeah. The Indians might be taking calls on Stephen Kwan. Guardian, sorry, yes. God, I've been so good. I've been so good.
You've been remarkably good.
I mean, it goes back.
Good.
I don't think I've messed that up since July. Streak is the Guardians might have laughed in his face and said he's not on the block.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, you shouldn't be getting your trade ideas from media reports either.
Well, I was going to say, last I checked, Stephen Kwan is still with the Guardians. Yep. So nobody traded for him. So that tells me that either the price is incredibly high or he was never on the block in the first place, despite the reports.
I think.
But that being said, I agree with what you said about Scott Harris. He's at the when this is all said and done, he's got questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to believe that one of the reasons that you don't trade away one of those top four prospects is because, A, you thought there was no way you're getting value for that in return because you'd be getting rental players and you didn't want to do that. Or maybe it was somebody that had some years left on the contract, but it's just not worth one of those core guys in your organization. Now that when the season ends up being over with, and hopefully it's another month from now that we're even talking about this, but who knows? But when you get to the off season and you start getting to winter meetings, that's when rumors start heating up and who's going to be traded or who's a free agent and all this. I really hope that that's the opportunity for this team to say, okay, now we can deal with 29 other teams and not just five other teams. And we could talk about moving a Lorenzo or a Briseño, or if you want to talk about McGonigal or Clark or whatever, then you can. Or Max Anderson. Or Trey Cruz or one of these other guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can start talking then because there's a bigger pool of teams to deal with than there is at the trade deadline. And then maybe then it'll make sense because if you trade one of these guys and then you end up landing a player that's going to be here for 3 years that is a plus-plus player, okay, I got you. And I can subscribe to that theory, and that's what I think you should do. But getting back to the trade deadline stuff, a lot of it is going to be revisionist history. We already had some people talking about Justin Verlander when back at the trade deadline, nobody was really talking about JV. JV has been unbelievable in like his last five starts. He's given like one run in five starts or something there, three runs, whatever it's been. He's amazing. But at the trade deadline, people weren't talking about that. People were talking about Eugenio Suarez, and that was really it in terms of hitters,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they talked about a couple of bullpen arms and that's really kind of it. And we left the trade deadline and we thought a little underwhelming with what they got in return. They find out a couple days beforehand, Reese Olson was going to be out. They needed to get a starting pitcher and the starting pitchers they got were crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of what else you're looking for. I mean, two guys that have an ERA with the Tigers, one over six and one of them was over seven. That's not good enough. That wasn't good enough. Now, that being said, pitching isn't the reason necessarily that the Tigers are in this position. They haven't been hitting at all since the All-Star game and since the trade deadline, they haven't been hitting. And Lord knows during this slump, they have not been able to come up with a clutch hit. It's not even a clutch hit. It's just a hit. Two guys on in how many innings? In six Dude. Innings, I think, yesterday they had two guys on.
And less than two outs.
And got to get a hit. And they can't do it. And to somebody else's point earlier, and we really didn't pay too much, give it too much talk, but maybe we should. The guy who called up and said about the bunting once in a while.
Yeah.
when you're in desperate times,
yeah,
like this, I can understand why somebody would say, you know, for a team that doesn't bunt at all, and that's just not what they do. But at some point, I'm like, okay, if it's not a bunt, can we just focus on the contact to a certain part of the field, whether it's a bunt or not?
I mean, they might tell you that that's what they do. I mean, there was a situation yesterday where I think they had 3, 4, 5 coming up. And almost no manager in baseball is going to bunt in those situations. And then when it doesn't work, you go back and you go, all right, maybe they should have bunted. Maybe, I guess. But, I can't believe how inept they have been with runners on base. You get two guys on and you're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
This is the big inning they've been looking for. Pop out, strike out, strike out. And I feel like that's the pattern.
Yeah, and before, that's when things were all clicking. They would have productive outs. They would hit the fly ball deep enough to move the runner from second to third. Or they would have the ground ball to the right side of the infield that allowed the runners to go from first and second to second and third, and the only play is over at first base. Whatever the case was, they were doing all those little things well that you didn't have the unproductive out that completely torpedoed your chances for an inning. But now it's just unbelievable. It's an avalanche of bad things.
248-539-9797. Let's get back. Avalanche of bad things. Very bad things. Wasn't there a movie, Very Bad Things?
Yes.
And at the beginning of that movie. At the very beginning of that movie, didn't something go wildly wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
Bachelor party? Yeah.
Yeah, this is Very Bad Things.
It's Very Bad Things.
This is the baseball version of Very Bad Things.
These are Very Bad Things.
Keith, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Keith.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, just like you're saying, just a base hit. Where have all the pure hitters gone? Are the batting coaches teaching these guys? I looked up George Kell. You know who George Kell is.
Don't. Please don't do that.
Are you going to pull stats from the 50s?
All right. Forget it.
Yeah, because, Keith, let me just say this. You know how many hitters are hitting 300 this year?
I know, not many.
What do you think not many is? In all of baseball, how many guys are hitting 300?
Four? Three? There's
seven.
Seven, okay.
That's it. You know how many guys are hitting 270? There's 30 teams in baseball. There's 30 teams in baseball, and there are, I think it's 54 players are hitting 270. Your idea of the pure hitter, it feels like it doesn't exist anymore.
Are they teaching everybody to just swing for the fences?
That's a shift.
There's an obsession with OPS now, right? Yeah. On base plus slugging. And so the game has changed, and it's 43 players are hitting 270 or more. And so basically, every team's got like one and a third.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like the game has changed. Now, batting average, a lot of people tell you batting average doesn't matter. But it has changed. It's not an excuse for the Tigers. Like, I got it. Yeah. Their production level has dropped off so dramatically. It is alarming.
Well, at some point, batting average does matter. Because when you got guys that are hitting 212, 215, 205 or less since the All-Star game, I mean, whether the ball is going over the fence or not, they're not hitting, period.
It's not a point of emphasis, it feels like. And yet, if you look at the majors, the teams that lead the majors in batting average, Toronto, Milwaukee, Philly, Boston, and the Dodgers.
Those are all...
all World Series contenders. Yeah. Then the Athletics. But, so maybe they need to look at what they're doing and how they're approaching at-bats completely differently, to the caller's point. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is your home for your favorite NFL bets. From yards to touchdowns to who will win, with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. FanDuel's giving all customers a 30% profit boost token on tonight's game. So what do you do with that profit boost token? I got to tell you, I like to take favorites with the profit boost token because you get a good return. But the last time I looked, the over-under on the Lions points was 21.5. Now, to be fair, I don't think I'm going to play that. But if I were, and I would tell you, if I would endorse the pick, if I looked at everything tonight and I didn't see anything I loved, but I think that's what I like the most. So profit boost token, 30% profit boost token on over 21.5 points for the Lions in this game tonight. Make sure you go to the FanDuel app Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years of age or older and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Do not forget to do that. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. AJ Hinch, we'll get back to your phone calls. We did promise some Michigan and Michigan State talk before this hour was done. Gator, the Spartans game at USC. Look, this is it's a huge ask to go out to USC at 11 p.m. start. I was thinking about this. Usually on these team flights, your wheels up about 2 hours after the game ends. I think I went upstairs to go to bed at 3 a.m., meaning they left at 5 a.m. most likely, unless they stayed the night. I didn't hear that they were planning on that, which means they landed back here at, 10 a.m. on Sunday? It's a good thing Michigan State has a bye. All in all, that feels like a scheduled loss. It went from being a difficult game to an impossible game, and then they started enduring injuries. There was some good that came out of it, some alarming things still that are present with this team, but Aiden Childs can play this game. And the receivers, they got some good receivers.
They have some great receivers. And yeah, Aiden Childs had another good game. Not great, but good.
Yep.
And the thing that showed up to me most was really about what USC was able to do. USC's defense has some playmakers on that defensive line, specifically in linebackers. The front seven were after it all game long. And they kept making plays. Now, if you watch it, it seemed like there was an awful lot of Michigan State not being able to block the guys or missing their assignments is what it looked like to me. Too much of that. Whether it was in the pass blocking game or in the run blocking game, there were problems up front for Michigan State. But I'm going to credit USC for having some players who are able to get the job done. What was most frustrating to me watching the game as a Spartan was that Michigan State couldn't stop the run. And I'm like, where are you guys? Like, they're completely blocked out of the way, guys going in the wrong lanes, and it was unbelievable. They were getting like 8 yards a carry, it felt like, throughout most of the game. And and when all said and done, USC ran for 289 yards and over 7 yards per carry. And they just kept gashing him. And Michigan State had no answer for it. Like, the guys making the tackles weren't linebackers. Why is the secondary always the last line of defense here? It shouldn't get to that point. It was just frustrating to watch it. And yet also proud that they fought the way that they did. They got this to a one-score game. Late in that game was a one-score game, which was kind of cool to see. But they just didn't have enough to get it done. It was a one wide open play that Childs didn't make the pass on, which was unfortunate, but he made some other great plays. In the end, USC was the better team and they won the game handily. And for Michigan State to play basically the entire second half without four really good defenders, it was a difficult task to see if they could keep it close. And they did. They were able to keep it close. And fortunately, sounds like Matthews is going to be okay. The reports
God, that was scary
that he flew back on the team plane. It was scary because I'm like, wait a minute, what's wrong with this guy? He's moving his legs. They're testing his legs. I'm like, oh, they're testing his feet. Something's wrong. And then obviously everything else happens where they bring the ambulance out and you're just praying that he's going to be okay. And it happens a play after you get the collision.
The two run into each other. Yeah.
That just unfortunate. They had the targeting call in the first half. There goes your best defensive player in Jordan Hall. So it was a tough evening for Michigan State.
Michigan. The Michigan offense runs one of my favorite plays in football, the 75-yard touchdown run. And they seem to run it a lot.
Is that one of your favorite plays?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite plays in football. They won this game in spite of the catastrophic mistakes. You can make mistakes and you can make catastrophic mistakes. And Michigan made two potentially catastrophic mistakes, and they overcame them. as far as the end of the first half and the personal foul penalty. And look, it's not a game of perfect. You're going to make mistakes. The mistakes go in vain if you don't learn from them. And certainly there's things that they can and will do better. And, you know, the believe me, I know that when fans get really worked up about stuff, it's not like the coaches are over there in the corner saying, I don't know what you're talking about. They review and look at everything a million times over, and things will get addressed. As far as the catastrophic mistakes are concerned, the Michigan defensive line was the most dominant unit on the field. And that was from beginning to end. They came out in the second half, which after you give up the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, Jansen was on the team that gave up the Cordell Stewart Hail Mary,
mm-hmm.
and that thing echoed. That thing hurt that team for weeks.
Coming close to that anniversary. Just
and this. So I asked him about it. I said, did that hurt you in more than just that game? And he said, yeah, it really did. And even if the difference between, you know, the Colorado Hail Mary was a kill shot and the Nebraska Hail Mary came at the end of the first half, if that had played a role in a loss, then I think that could have had a similar effect. That's one. But they came out in the second half and their defense, three and out, and then a penalty allowed a drive to continue. They could have won by more, but they were a 1-point favorite. They went in, they got the win, and I give a ton of credit to that offensive line. They've had two injuries to starters and a third to a potential starter on that offensive line. They've reshuffled. And with 12 minutes to go in that game, they put together an 8-minute, 16-play drive that resulted in a field goal that bled the clock. And a lot of it was on the ground. Good job by that offensive line that you kind of hope had a coming-of-age type of drive, because I wasn't sure they had that in them. And they went out and put that game away.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a dominant game for Michigan at the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. And I saw something that, and you talked about this specifically, I think on Friday's show, we're kind of previewing what was going to happen. And you said something about the secondary for Nebraska is really good, but they put those guys on an island. And they go man coverage. And when they go man coverage, they turn their backs to the play, and that allows for, if you're able to run the ball and your receivers are just running out, the defensive backs are just going to follow them, it allows for the possibility of some big gashing running plays. And I don't know, 75, 54, 37, are those big gashing running plays?
Yeah.
So that happened. That was it was impressive.
Yeah, and really, I think it was a really well called game by Chip Lindsey, the offensive coordinator. 248.
I was surprised there were only 54 plays for Michigan in the game.
It's because they had some quick drives, which can cut down.
That's what happens when you go 75 yards.
248-539-9797. Champ and Chubb votes. We will get to them. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. We'll get into full Lions Ravens preview at 12:30, and your calls are next. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.